Two. And welcome back.
How
How
we
you
doing?
getting?
So today we're joined by Joe Kilgallen. I was saying his name wrong earlier, but we finally got it right. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys. This is gonna be fun.
Of course. So for anyone who might not know you, how about you introduce yourself?
I'm a stand-up comedian slash podcaster slash actor. I feel like everyone has to have a bunch of like multiple titles. Nobody can be one thing. I live in Chicago, Illinois, in the United States, which I feel like I didn't need to add the United States part, but I didn't want to be like some arrogant American where it's like, you know where the fuck I live? Chicago, damn it. Come on, Michael Jordan. Yeah, I got a podcast where I just talk about all sorts of shit, what's ever on my mind. It originally started off as it was called Kilgallen's Pub, where I would get drunk during the podcast. And then health-wise, I thought I can't continue doing this forever, so maybe I should just tone that down a little bit. And now it's just the Joe Kilgallen podcast. But happy to be on with you guys, you lads.
Thanks a million. But yeah, I say the liver wouldn't have appreciated that, in fairness. You'd be hanging on to dear life talking about the news and stuff. It'd be
And
definitely
plus, I
be
got.
weak.
Yeah, I've got my one son just turned 4. I got another son who's almost 2, and the hangovers, when you get older, they're just, I'm in my mid-30s now. They're not what they were when I was in my 20s. So yeah, I definitely have to tone it down. But I'm looking for that second wind. I think I'm gonna be that guy come my late 40s where I'm just gonna go back at it hard, and I'm gonna live my 20s all over again. That's the dream.
Well, power to you. But yeah, when you said earlier you're a comedian, most comedians we talk to, they fall into it like, well, literally just fall into it. Like, no one ever plans it. How'd it go for you?
Kind of similar. I was always kind of the guy that people were like, oh, you're hilarious, you tell funny stories. And I was in college, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. I felt like I was wasting my parents' money. College is so expensive, and I always kind of wanted to write movies. I wanted to be like a screenwriter, and I'd heard that a lot of the comedy screenwriters I liked a lot also had a background in like comedy, whether it be sketch comedy or stand-up comedy. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll go into that world. And then I started going to open mics, and I took some like improv classes at Second City here in Chicago, which is pretty big breeding ground. And then after going to some open mics, I was just in love. I'm like, you mean I could go up there and say whatever I want? Like I could say anything? Oh, this is, let's go, you know?
And you really do go up there and say anything. Good Jesus.
I do. Sorry, I'm moving my computer onto something stable. I realize as I get excited, I'm shaking it about.
No, it's
Here we
perfect.
go. Not a worry.
Just the thing about saying what you want, are you worried about then, like with all this stuff with PC culture and, censoring what you can say? What's your view on that?
I'm not too worried about it because I feel like as long as you are coming from an honest place and explain yourself okay. I mean, I say that now and watch a week from now, you guys are going to hear about me getting canceled on Twitter for something. I feel like people give you the benefit of the doubt. Like when you know it's the joke or not. Like I was telling some friends of mine who I thought, oh, they're like very PC. I wonder what their take is on this. There was a TikTok video where this woman was doing like a transformation video, which is pretty popular now on both TikTok and Instagram, I believe. And she talked about getting breast reduction, which is like, hey, good for you. Your back hurts. All right. And the first comment was she just went from a 9 to a 6. And I thought that was hilarious. I laughed really hard because, yeah, it's a little mean, but I felt like it was good natured enough. And I remember telling some of my friends, and they kind of had that look like, but then they laughed a little bit. And I'm like, look, that's okay. It's okay to admit something's funny. It's not, it's, I'm, sh did you see, I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be a little bit of wiggle room for the sake of comedy because so much of comedy does come from dark stuff. And I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to lighten the mood a little bit, that guy. And sometimes someone falls down. That's funny. Are we going to take away that? So yeah, there's a weird thing happening right now. I'm not too worried about it. I feel like I'm a very progressive guy in the sense that I'm always trying to move forward. You always kind of want to know what's going on currently because you don't want to be that 55-year-old comedian who's like, everything sucks today. Really? Does everything really suck today? Or did you start to suck? And you're the problem. But in the same regard, you gotta poke at people a little bit, and have a little bit of fun with them. You know, you gotta mess with them a little bit.
I suppose you have a point there. Like the idea you can't make a joke about everything, you know, that doesn't really sit well. You know, like comedians are there to push the barrier. You know, like the barrier set by them. You know, like if they do bad, we're like, ooh, okay, that's the line. But I love ones that are constantly pushing it. Like I don't know if you've seen that one with Bill Burr fairly recently. Like he went through this whole rant about white women, and guess what happened? They did exactly what he said. You know?
And it was perfect. I love the way he handled it. He didn't. I think so many times people get in trouble for a joke, and they get into this whole back and forth where it's like, no, let me explain why I'm right. Let me explain why you are wrong and all that. Like I have a joke that was on the Laugh Factory's YouTube channel or Instagram, and they got a pretty big following. They got over a million followers on that. And the joke was, see, my wife's a nurse who's working on the COVID floor.
Yep.
And I'm so happy the nurses are finally getting recognition because I know how hard she works. And basically the joke was that, like, you know, these nurses are heroes and all that stuff, but you know, a real hero would have sex with me more, you know? And some women were calling it misogynistic, and I'm like, my wife.
That's so dumb. Oh my god.
You got a bunch of negative comments, and they're like, oh my god, I feel bad for his wife and all this stuff. And I'm like, here's how the joke developed. I'm gonna let some people inside the mind of a comedian right now. My wife was exhausted. I remember the first time I thought it. She came home from work, very tired, crazy week at the hospital, you know, with COVID numbers going nuts and people dying, you know. And, you know, I'm hugging her and we're like kind of cuddling in bed. And she's just talking about how tired she was and how crazy work is. And then I said, I'm like, so now would be a bad time to have sex? Because, you know, which is obviously me joking, being a selfish man, being like, yeah, your feet hurt, but just lie there. I'll take care of it. Like, you know what I mean? That was clearly, that's where the humor lies. You take a dark, tough situation and you try to make it funny, and people didn't want to hear that. But I think too many people now, they look to be angry. They go, where could I find what's wrong with this? Which is a weird mentality to have. I mean, I'm hoping the pendulum swings back the other way and people could just kind of take things at face value instead of trying to like look for hidden meanings behind stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. You and I talked about WandaVision for a split second. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit more later. I saw a Facebook post where the guy said, how come Wanda didn't do any, like, black sitcoms? How come Wanda didn't watch, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Martin and all that? And they were trying to act like there was some kind of racism thing. And I go, look, there are legit real problems with racism, especially in America. But you got to remember, Wanda's supposed to be Sokovian immigrants. And I don't know if this fictional country got black entertainment from American comedians. I don't know. I don't know why she wasn't doing like a Will Smith impression. I don't know why that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, come on. Like, are you really breaking it down?
I think people would say it would be racist if she did.
Yes, exactly. That's what was my next point. I'm like, you can't, you're kind of, she's stuck either way. It's just a weird thing. Why couldn't you just enjoy the show? You have to like dig down deep and try to figure out what's what. I don't know.
I hate those people.
Me too, my man. Me too.
That is.
Yeah, it's people like that and journalists.
That is. I can't believe that. That's mad. It's like.
It's just stupid.
Like, the show is great. Why shit on it for like something that like that that doesn't matter? Do you know what I mean? It's pretty.
I agree. I agree. It's crazy.
But yeah, we obviously have a lot of people doing that, and I don't know. Like, realistically, how many of them are there? But they do it so much.
I remember the one I remember is, I don't know if you're up to date with, like, boxing and, like, stuff with, like, Jake Paul. But remember he knocked out Nate Robinson, and then he was asked on an interview, was it racist to knock him out?
Yeah, I remember that interview. Yeah, it was, you know, he should have.
That was ridiculous.
He should have really, I don't know. Yeah, that was so dumb. It was one of the dumber things I've ever seen. And the thing is, they know there's value in saying the dumb thing, because here we are, three people, miles and thousands of miles apart, talking about it right now. Mm. And until we can figure out a way not to reward that kind of thing, there'll be less of it. That's my thing. Because as you were saying, like, how many people are really like that out there? I read a study that said 10% of, like, Twitter users account for over 50% of the tweets. So they're kind of, like, dictating the narrative.
Actually, funny enough, I believe that completely. Because there's the people, like, sometimes you see a cool tweet and you click on their profile, and it'll be something like 40 joined in 2018, 40,000 tweets. You know, shit like that. I have friends who have even higher than that and been on since 2019. You know?
That's crazy. Like, that's the math on that's nuts. What is that, 25 tweets a day, every day?
That's just a lack someone. There of a life, you know?
Yeah.
Last time I've seen the sun.
Exactly. go kick a ball around. You'll have more fun.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy, though. Twitter's its own story. And we may dodge that bullet today. Yeah.
And bullet it
is. But yeah, you were saying before we started, you're a fan of the Hardy Books. And we've had those lads on before. We're fairly well acquainted with the lads of Three Books Left and Martin Maloney. So, you know, obviously you have Irish ancestry with a name like Kilgallen. And you were saying beforehand that you found out about them while, like, being in the States. I've never heard of that. Like, I didn't know it had any success outside of Ireland.
Yeah, I had a friend send me the link. He goes, hey, I came across this TV show in Ireland. It's like a web series where they were in a contest at the time on RTE, I believe, and you would, like, vote for them. And I caught on early. I caught the first couple of episodes, and I was like, these guys are hilarious. I was laughing so hard at all the different lines, like, she's mad as a bag of spiders, and there was work in the bed, he'd sleep on the floor.
Oh, that's the best one.
All this stuff. And the character who plays the Boo has the same surname as me. So I was like, oh, I'm even more into that. You know, you get a little invested in that kind of thing. And I was rooting for them along the way. So seeing them, I think they won. I'm pretty sure they won. And then they went on to have the movie. And there's a pretty big age gap between me and my younger brother. He's 23 and I'm like 36, I think. And I showed him the Hardy Bucks movie that came out, I believe, like 7 years ago or something, 7-8 years ago. And then he showed all his friends. And then they, on their college campus, he was telling me that everyone's super into it and they're watching the YouTube videos all the time when they come home from the pubs all drunk. And it's just really the Viper. I tried to buy the Viper t-shirt. I went on, like, different websites to see if I could get, like, the exact one. And I couldn't find any that would ship because I'm like, I want to wear that Viper t-shirt. Even though nobody in America would know what the hell it was in reference to, it would just be for me. So that's how in the show. Gotta get the glasses. Gotta hang out the window of my Honda Civic.
That makes me want to buy that fucking t-shirt.
it's a cool shirt.
Yeah.
The characters are great, though, man. French Toast, Buzz, like, all of them are just so damn funny. And all the side characters they have, too, with the one Scorpion, I think, is the other guys are Scorpio.
Salmon.
Stateside.
Salmon.
Stateside. Dragon. Yeah, there's so many. They were unreal, those lads. When we started this, they were like one of the first people I wanted to interview. Like, just dead set, I have to speak to these guys. And we got Buzz on. He was the first one that would say yeah. And I wouldn't even go back and watch that thing. It was just like fanboying for an hour.
I would do the same thing. I would fanboy with those guys too. I'm actually remembering now, the guy who plays Buzz, Owen, was doing a thing with, I think it was called The Boys, with this guy, Francis something. I forget his last name. He's another Irish. Yeah, maybe he's an Irish comedian, but he moved to Los Angeles, and I was living in Los Angeles for a few years, and we met a couple times. Really nice guy. He'd done a couple things with him, and he was doing a whole thing where he was, I think he got some prominence in Ireland because he was sleeping in a tent for like a couple months. I don't know if you remember a guy like that doing YouTube videos out of a tent he was sleeping in to save money. I don't know. Sorry, I can't remember his name, but he did a bunch of funny stuff. One where they were telling Donald Trump, hey, let us come over there. We'll build you a wall. And they were talking about all the walls they had built, and they're really just shit walls.
Yeah. I guess the reason they did so well here is because, you know, I think the population of Ireland is like half and half, with like living in Dublin and then the rest of the place, because we've one major city, blah blah blah. And you know, like Irish shows like what Fair City or whatever would really show what it's like for the rest of us, but they'd give like the Dublin perspective. And these were the first lads to just show like hillbilly Ireland, you know, like just lads out in the sticks doing mad crack, doing anything just for fun, just to have the crack, you know. And
Didn't they say like half the shows were just unscripted and it was just them going
yeah
out and recording?
yeah they
Like,
said like, well, 80% of it was improv when it was on YouTube, and when RT came around is about 40%. Yeah, but they did their
I'm
own writing.
thinking, yeah, I was, you're talking about the other side of Ireland and all that. I'm laughing. Would there really be a thing like the Mitzi Turbo Cup, that episode they had? I don't know if you ever saw that. That was on the web series.
Yeah, the
But if
Mitzi
they,
Turbo Cup, pretty much. I like there's like a tiny version of that that happens here. Like that should that kind of carry on does happen.
best. That's so
Yeah.
funny to me.
King of the Town, I don't know if that would happen though.
Not really, no.
I love that episode. Like he's talking about like the King of the Town tournament, and it changes through the times. The yard of stew used to be a yard of poaching. It goes on like three men died one year from a yard of poaching. Just the carry on they had on that show was unreal. But yeah, look,
Good.
they're all, I think nearly all of them are comedians now, and they do their little bits. So because you're Irish, like, do you get any inspiration off that kind of stuff, or would that not fly in the States?
No, I definitely get some inspiration off that stuff. I always wanted to do, I'm not as talented though with some of the stuff that I love. The Rubber Bandits too, they were so damn funny. That "Fuck Your Honda Civic, I Have a Horse Outside" video, so that was so big everywhere. I think I get a lot of like my Irish humor, you know, it gets passed down from, you know, my grandfather to my dad to me. I definitely have that stereotypical Irish temper, which I'm working on actually. Which is so funny though, because I remember I went to Ireland in when I was like, I don't know, like 2005, I think I was there. And I went with a friend of mine who didn't have any like Irish ancestry. He just was like, "Yeah, I want to go to Europe. So Ireland, you're gonna go, I'm gonna go." The flight was so cheap. We got this sale on like Aer Lingus. I think I paid like $275 round trip. It was nuts. It was February too, so I guess it's not a big time to go visit, but we had a good time. And I remember we stayed at a hostel. When I got off the bus, there was a guy waiting to cross the street who kind of looked like a cousin of mine. And he had a big smile on his face and looked like the friendliest person in the world. And as he was about to cross the street, because the light had changed, a car just like turned real fast in front of him. And as the car turned, he punched the back of like the car and was like, "Mind the lights, you prick," and just hit it real hard. And the car didn't stop. And then as we're crossing, we're like, "Jesus, this guy's a psycho." He just kind of like said, "How you doing there, lad?" Like just like real smiling and polite, like he didn't just hit a moving vehicle. And I remember telling my buddy, "That's every relative I have. Like, they're so friendly and so nice." And then out of nowhere, just like one snap of the fingers and they're ready to just fight. So yeah, I just thought that was such a great like dynamic there of going from like this happy guy, beautiful day, waiting for the light to change to I'm gonna beat the shit out of a moving car. But yeah, no, there's so many great Irish comedians, and Tommy Tiernan's hilarious.
No, I love Tommy Tiernan. He's great.
So funny. His stuff got really big in Chicago. When he comes to Chicago, he sells out. Just a lot of Dylan Moran's hilarious. Yeah, just I don't know. There's just like a culture. I tell people one of my favorite videos that I've shared on social media, like the last until I couldn't find it. I think YouTube took it down or someone did, was we're going back to Hardy Bucks. They had Hardy Bucks Guide to St. Patrick's Day. And it was this funny video they all did, like three or four of them. The whole cast wasn't in it. And I would share it on YouTube right around every St. Patrick's Day. Because the one line that I love so much was, he goes, "Why do Irish people drink so much? It's because we all want to be artists and writers. We all have such great ambition. And sometimes it doesn't work out." And I was just like, that's too funny to me. And so you got to regroup with an old pint and it, you know, starts drinking the Guinness. And then the whole other adage of, we're not here for a long time, we're here for a good time. And I think that's also goes back to what's been frustrating about seeing the modern world overreacting to jokes constantly, is that we're just here to have a good time. Like, it's not everything's so deep, not everything's so serious. And that's why I like, I think on my YouTube bio, for my YouTube channel, it says jokes for people who like to have fun. Meaning if you like to have fun, you're gonna get along with me pretty well. And it's just kind of my code word of saying jokes for people who don't have a stick up their ass, you know?
Mm. You're right about that. People taking life too seriously. And like, what a life to live. Like, it's like, you gotta have a bit of fun sometimes. Come on, folks. Don't take life too seriously.
Do you want to be like, I don't know, do you want to be 40 one day thinking like, Jesus, I've 800,000 tweets and I've gone nowhere.
I've cancelled every single comedian that's alive.
They're all gone.
Nobody's allowed to laugh. It's now a law.
I've eradicated laughter. Now what? I don't know.
Yeah, we're doing podcasts right now, like across the world. So it's, life's pretty good. I mean, obviously there's a lot of horrible shit out there that needs to get better. But if you're alive, you gotta think about how lucky you really are. I had a mini little health scare recently. I'm fine, thank God. But I remember this quote. I can't remember who said it. It's such a great quote where it's, you know, a happy person or a healthy person has 10,000 desires. A sick person has one. And that's to be healthy. I remember thinking I wish more people kind of had that mindset. Damn. Of stop letting every little thing make it so that you can't leave your house. I don't know. I think what you guys are saying is dead on. People are just going to erase laughter and all we'll have left is, nothing, because you'll have really nothing left after that.
Yeah,
but
dude, that's just fucking depressing.
I know. I think I made it dark. I just fucked it up. I'm supposed to be the comedian. I'm supposed to make you guys laugh, dude, a little bit.
But like, that's part of comedy. You have to go. No,
you got to go deep.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Yeah.
We have comedians on the whole time, and I think we're good friends with this guy called Paul, and for one episode we literally just talked about economics. Like,
you know how dumb that is. You know, like,
a comedian, and we're here talking about how the government are going to save us out of debt. Like,
he's been on like 5 or 6 times. And he's the only guest who's been on that many times. And like for his third time, he just hopped on. Because we've gone past the interview stage. And we just talked about like the economy. Because, I don't know, like he brought it up or something. Yeah, dude.
I think a lot of comedians like to be like, hey, I'm not just a funny guy. You want to know my thoughts on on some math here?
But like, that's the thing, like, like, you want a comedian's perspective because they'll make anything funny. Whether they try or not, you know?
Yeah.
Which was handy enough. But, like, in the States at the moment, what's it like comedy-wise? Like, are you able to go to shows? Are you kind of stuck?
Well, it's such a weird country. So we have a state called Florida where nothing has died down there at all. Like, they've been open the whole time. And it's not good, really. Everyone I know has been, not everyone, but there's just new stories all the time about how many people have died because of Florida not really shutting anything down. And then places like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, we've taken it seriously. And thankfully, numbers are going down here and things are taking a turn for the better. And more people are getting vaccinated. So the clubs are opening starting next week for live, but like minimal capacity. I think they're only letting like 25% of what the seats are allowed or something like that. So if it's 100 people, normally it's going to be 25, which makes it a little bit more difficult because you can't, laughter's contagious. You know, what's fun about comedy clubs is everyone's kind of bunched together and, you know, one person's got one of those crazy laughs that kind of just inspires everyone else to just let loose. And so everyone's a little bit more spread out. We were doing some shows like that in August. That was what really sucked too as a comedian. Things shut down around March of 2020. Then in August, they opened up, but like I said, it was like 30%, 25% capacity, and then it shut down again in October. So we got 2 months back where I was performing again fairly regularly, and then everything shut down again. So I felt like a heroin addict where I'm like, I got that needle in me in August, and then October, they're like, no, you got to quit again. But I wasn't ready to quit, guys. I wanted to keep doing heroin / doing comedy. And it's a weird metaphor right now, but I'm going with it. And it just... That part of it sucked. That's why that second wave, that second shutdown really hits, I was talking to some of my comedian friends, it hit us hard because we're like, this is just depressing. We thought we were going to get out of it a little bit, but really it was just American greed because these businesses were complaining enough where they're like, all right, fine, you can open, but you still have to be spread out in a little bit. But really, if we would have just done a real lockdown, a real shutdown, I think we could have had half the deaths because we have over 500,000 now, which is horribly tragic. And things could be open for real, but things are slowly picking up now. So I'm encouraged by that because the numbers are going down. But not to get too long winded with my answer, because it's just been such a weird ass year. Every comedian I know, we've been trying to figure out different things to do. I got really into posting clips on TikTok because I'm like, I got to post something. I need the gratification. But as far as the new stuff goes, you know, ranting on my podcast, I think I try to figure out how to be fun doing it that way. But you need the live audience. That instant gratification from a live audience is, I think, why we became comedians, stand up at least.
Yeah, that actually is very similar to the lockdown in Ireland. I mean, we were in a lockdown from March to I think it was June or July. Then we came out of it for maybe like three months until November, and we had to go back, or September, we had to go back in. We got out for a week at Christmas. The week before Christmas, we got out, and we've been put in one since then. And our cases have been shockingly bad since then.
It really is infuriating. Highest lockdown rate in Europe, like highest lockdown days, you know, of any European country. One of the lowest vaccination rates. When Northern Ireland was at 15% vaccination, we were at 3%.
Oh man!
Like, come on! Like, they're not really doing anything besides, like, you know, hide under the blanket and hope it goes away. Because, you know, our first lockdown was, you know, in comparison to the third one, it was pretty okay. Like, the deaths in comparison were way lower. The infection rates were way lower. Like, with the second one, the death rates didn't really rise at all. Like, they kind of figured out how to treat it. But then here we are on the third one. And at a certain point, you know, the hospitals were so full, it didn't really matter how well they knew how to treat it. There was just so many people there that didn't get the treatment they needed. And, it's been pretty shit.
Let me ask, I'm curious, because it's hard to get such accurate information. What was the government response, like, money-wise? Were they sending people checks to stay at home, like, for unemployment? Were they giving...
Yeah. We had a... We had COVID unemployment rate was 350 a week, and then that changed mid-December, I want to say, to 250 a week. And if you were caught going outside the country, they took that away from you. That was at a point. I don't know if that's still in play now, but I know if you had like a family member who was sick, if you had to go see them and they saw you were on the COVID unemployment thing, they would take that away from you, like.
Wow.
Our government's not good. Our government is pretty bad at the moment. They're incompetent. They can't do their job right.
Yeah. It was okay when we had, like, a prime minister who was a doctor, and then they switched over to the other man, and it's been a bit weird since.
I didn't know we had a prime minister. We have a Taoiseach.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
But, it's pretty bad over here. I mean,
Our government wasn't doing that great. I mean, if you were on unemployment, you were getting some, they did like, it was like a $600 a week thing for a while, which was pretty nice. For comedians, it was good for us, but then for other people, they weren't qualifying. And then they sent like a one-time check of $1,200 that lasted until they did another $600 check just after Christmas. And we had a lot of so many people were really struggling too. People couldn't afford rents, and so some people were getting evicted from their place where they're like, I had a job and that job doesn't exist anymore. And it got pretty sad. That's why there was so much violence over the summer. Like, there was riots in almost every city across. I mean, obviously there were a lot of it was because of police brutality. But the fact that people, like, you know, when economic times are bad, people are going to join up and be like, oh, everyone's breaking stuff. Well, I got nothing else to do tomorrow. I'll go break stuff too. So
yeah, there was there was an anti-lockdown protest yesterday in Ireland where the guards got involved and a lot of people, I think there was like 23 people arrested at it. Like,
one fucker shot a rocket.
Oh yeah.
Not a firework.
So a rocket at guards.
Jesus. Like, what in the fuck? You know?
So, you know,
Wow.
then people, what they did is that that clip got released online and they edited it just before he shot the rocket at him. So it just looked like the guards were going at them. And people saw it as, do you know what I mean? So,
Yeah, to
yeah,
make it
no,
look
man,
like
that's.
police brutality, for like, because people don't want to be in lockdown. Like, they try to pull that narrative, which is pretty dumb.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, we're talking about some dark stuff. The journalism and people cutting video at certain points, and everyone's trying to push their own narrative. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, that's why,
At
like,
least we have WandaVision.
Oh,
thank
Christ.
God.
I don't think I'd still be here if Fridays didn't exist right now. Like,
Yeah.
come on. It's like best day of the week kind of shit. You know what I mean?
It's a really good show.
I like that they're making a new episode each week instead of doing the old way, but this is the old way. But remember, for a while, every show was like, we're going to drop all 10 episodes at once. It's kind of nice that Disney Plus isn't doing the Netflix thing, because it's nice to have something to look forward to every week. It kind of feels like
Yeah.
appointment viewing.
You know what? You're right, kind of thing. And
Yeah, when Stranger Things came out, like this first season, I watched the whole thing in a day. Same thing
yeah,
the
and then
second
you forget
season.
about it.
But you know, with this, like this, you just constantly hyped, like, oh my God, now what's gonna happen? And yeah, really interesting. Otherwise, like, if it was released like the way Stranger Things was, it would just be like a really, really long movie.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. See, I kind of like it this way. It does feel like a series, and you need time to process each episode. I
Oh, yeah.
feel like I think that's part of the fun of the MCU, is all like the Easter eggs. Like, whoa, you know what that means? That means this person's coming, and everyone's wrong. You know what I mean? That's what's kind of like the guessing game part of it. I really enjoy.
Oh,
Yeah.
conspiracy theorists are definitely making their money with this show. I mean, there's this one guy I watch. His name's Eric Voss, and he's like new rock star game.
Yeah.
And every week, right out, he first of all, he does a podcast where he reacts to the episode live. Then he does a Q&A with the fans, and then he does a breakdown video. And this is what's going to happen next week's video, and what I got right about last week's video. Then it's your podcast again. The guy's making fucking bank from this show. I mean, you're like, good
Yeah.
luck. Then he's selling T-shirts with WandaVision's face on it. I'm like, yeah, man, go you. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it works.
That's, we were talking about the bad stuff with the internet. That's like the best part of the internet to me, is that I get to talk to you two across, the planet basically. And you could have people who are real. If you have a passion about something and you're really into it, you could find a way to make some money off of it. And that's what's really cool. If you're into a TV show, bam, find the podcast that's related to that TV show. Find the person who's writing blogs about it. Find the reaction video. I think that part of it's so awesome. And that's the only reason I'm still on Twitter, because I can't stand Twitter of all the ones, is because I want breaking news for sports stuff. I think Twitter's pretty good for, And then also like entertainment news, like what's the new Spider-Man going to be called? And, some little stuff like that. That's where I think it's really cool.
100%. Didn't the Spider-Man title get released like last week? And then all three actors put out three different titles, and then they put out the real. That's so smart from them, because it's so self-aware that they know that that's something Tom Holland would do.
Yeah, and then it brings all this attention to like people sharing the fake names, getting told it's the fake name, and then everyone's waiting for a real name now, you know? Rather than, it's building all this suspense for a real one, and they've kind of nailed marketing like no one else.
I
They're
know,
doing
man.
well, even in terms of memes. Like when Endgame and Infinity War came out, the amount of memes that came out from, like just from that. I don't know. Like people made like a bunch of jokes, like a soul for a soul. What else?
Thanos
The
did
one
nothing
where
wrong
all
thing.
that for a drop of blood, blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's a big one. All that for a drop of blood. The one I kind of find pretty funny is whenever there's going to be like some positive news. Like, I remember when they announced that there's going to be a vaccine, everyone did the one where it's Hawkeye going, "Please don't give me hope." Where he's like crying, looking back
Yeah.
at Scarlett Johansson, "Don't give me
That
hope." I wish I could have gave it to you sooner. That was perfect.
was great. No, they're really good the way they. Marvel is so ahead of its competition. It's incredible. Like, I can't really think of a. Maybe Star Wars, But in terms of like big movie franchises, there's
They're owned
nothing
by the
that's
same place.
comparing to it, to be honest. Like, it's
It
incredible.
was just so genius to have it all connected. I mean, I got my wife into all the Marvel movies pretty late, and we just watched Spider-Man Far From Home for the first
Yeah,
time
it's a
just
good
the
one.
other night. And I remember at the end of it, she's like, whosever idea it was to have all these movies connected was such a genius because it makes it feel like they're all just a bunch of sequels. Like, you have to watch, like, when Black Widow comes out, I want to see that right away.
Oh
yeah.
And when when you want to see all of them and you want to see the end credit scene and you want to be like, oh my God, that's gonna, it's just such a smart thing that, like, in that one scene in Far From Home when Spider-Man's like, I want to ask this girl out, can't you talk to Thor? What about Doctor Strange? What about this guy? And it's just kind of cool that they all exist together like that.
yeah.
I remember someone calling it like the world's most expensive TV show. It's like you can't see Endgame without seeing Iron Man, Captain America, it doesn't make sense.
Even if you just watch the Avengers movies, like what there's been four of them now, it makes zero sense if you only watch them.
Yeah, you'd have to see Civil War. You would have to see. There's just so much. It's fun though. It really makes it like you're all part of this event every time it something comes out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they nailed it. They nailed it. And
That's
like
great.
when Endgame came out, and same with Infinity War, it was like all this, I don't know, everything coming together, and like all these like years of films coming into like suspenseful moments, like when Thor appears out of nowhere, like has a new hammer, like that was a big moment.
You know, it's not often I would, it's not often I want to be another man, but
But
Chris Hemsworth in Infinity War when he arrives in Wakanda, and in the scene in Thor Ragnarok when his sister says, what are you the god of again? And then the lightning bolt hits,
dude.
and then the Led Zeppelin song plays. Those are two times where I'm like, I want to be that guy. Just in those scenes, I would like to be him.
Yeah, they made he was like a really shit character, like in the first Thor movie and in the second
Yes.
one, and then they've just nailed him now. They've nailed
Oh
him
yeah. It's perfect.
because the second Thor movie, I don't know how many people have seen it. It was pretty awful.
I saw once and that's it. I revisit so many of them, but that the only ones I don't care to watch again are, yeah, the really kind of both of the first two Thors. And like the first one's good, but I know it. Because I could rewatch any of them. Maybe Iron Man 3 wasn't very good. But all of them, I feel like I could, the Guardians movies I could rewatch. Although
Oh
the
yeah.
second one, I cry like a baby at the end.
Oh.
By the way,
It's
spoiler alerts, everybody.
great.
I always like to be that guy that says spoiler alert for a movie that came out 7 years ago.
It's like spoiler alert, Bruce Willis is a ghost. Sorry.
I don't know how to do it. And when we talked about like writers earlier, the writers for those movies should be paid so fucking much. They figured it out. Like, they've like, I don't know, they've optimized what writing is. They just have it to a T.
Yeah, it's. I wonder if they all have them on lifetime contracts. That's what I would do. I always thought to myself, if I was a studio, I would hire writers the way teams do. Like the way, like Manchester United or the Yankees, they'll just be like, we're going to sign you for a 10-year contract and to do all this right, because you want to keep them in that family. I wouldn't want them, because if I took over DC, if I took over the DC's movies, I would immediately be like, all right. We're obviously not going to get the number one at Marvel. He's locked in there. But go pick up who's in their top five of writers or executive producers or whatever that we could bring over here, because our shit clearly isn't working.
Are you gonna watch the Snyder Cut when it comes out?
Yeah, probably just because of all the hype. But then part of me is like, if this doesn't live up to the hype, I'm going to be so annoyed. Because I want those movies to work too. I mean, I want it all to be good. I don't care. I just am a big fan of anything in that genre, and I like movies in general. I'm not too much of a movie snob. I talk to some people and they just overanalyze every little thing. I've got friends of mine that I saw making posts about the new Tom and Jerry movie. I'm like, it's for 7-year-olds. You're 28. What are you doing? Like,
Yeah.
not for you.
Clearly, there was no character development as Tom, as he, by the end of it, actually ate the mouse. It's like, come on, you're supposed to have a change of heart. It's like, shut up. You don't know shit.
It's really about malnourished cats, and that's why he had to seek out a mouse. He wasn't getting proper cat food. He had one of those owners giving him a vegan diet that aren't right for cats, you know, stuff like that.
That's a weird thing.
That is a weird thing.
We had a dietitian on recently, and he's like, he's talking about all these different diets, and he was like, you know, like, the only diet that we cannot do is a vegan diet. You know, like, unless you're, like, heavily supplementing, like, it's the only thing we can't do. Like, we can be vegetarian, that works fine. Pescatarian, carnivore, keto, Weston Price, paleo, but they all work. Only one doesn't work for humans. And, going to the cat thing, like, if they're, like, mainly carnivores, geez, what's going on with them if they're only eating, like, vegan stuff? And try telling your cat not to kill the mouse. Try it.
Yeah.
It's going to do it.
That's the whole point. That's what they do. It's funny how we try to take things that work for humans or might not even work for humans and try to put them on our pets. There was just a story about these. There were stories where veterinarians had to be like, cats, look, I don't care if you're a big hippie vegan and, you know, you believe we're all one. If you have a cat as a pet, you have to give it some kind of meat. That's what they do. That's why they have fangs. They need the meat. And all these cat lady people were just like, no, I think she could get protein from this way. And my darling little mittens is just going to be just fine. And I think it's okay. And meanwhile, that cat's going to claw out that owner's eyes in the middle of the night. And you know what? I'm rooting for the cat. I think I want the cat to win this one.
Yeah.
I know.
Because Mother Nature is not woke. You know what I mean? Mother Nature.
It
never will be.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I know you're one of the vegan teacher was recently banned off TikTok, and she has her dog on a vegan diet. So her dog doesn't eat any meat. Too woke for that, you know?
The only animals that could, yeah, it's so, like, if you get a pet gorilla, you could let it just eat plants, because that's what they eat. But I don't think the gorilla's going to be too chill with everything else you enforce on it. Yeah, that's so weird to me. I don't know why. It's a fucking dog, and it's not like, not too often you see dogs, they're not like hunting them down for sport. I can understand people being against that for sport. That makes sense. Poor little deer is sniffing some flowers.
No, hunting for sport, it shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, hunting, funny enough, is like some of the most ethical ways of getting meat, you know, in comparison to like some of the factory farming. You got to live like a life, like, you know, you can't kill the young ones. You know, it just, it's out there doing its thing. And it's the fastest way it could die. You know, it's there's two ways wild animals die. They starve to death or get eaten alive. And you know, like, the good shot from an arrow or a good shot from a rifle, that's a lot better and a lot more ethical than getting mauled by a bobcat. You know?
So this is what I would do. If I was hunting, because you made a good point, they either starve to death or they get eaten alive. I would shoot them in the head right before they were about to get eaten alive. That way it's like they really did live up to the last possible moment, because it's like, hey, buddy, you were about to get eaten alive. You were this close. I then shot you in the head or in the heart, whatever's more humane. And that's really truly living for the last possible minute. Because if I didn't shoot you, you would have been eaten by that bobcat, and that would have sucked even more, I bet. You know, so.
You saint.
I think I'm onto something.
Thank you, Joe.
You're a goddamn saint.
You ever hunt?
Savior.
I honestly have never gone hunting. You know, I grew up in a pretty big city, so it's not really a thing out here. I did do shows in Alaska last year. I know it was in 2019. And these guys at the end of the show were like, you got to come up here in the summer. We'll take you moose hunting. And I guess they go out and hunt moose in Alaska because it's so far north. Hunting out there, I guess, is pretty crazy in the summer because it doesn't get, it's daytime all day. It'll be midnight and the sun is just starting to go down. They only have like a couple hours of darkness. I think it's something like in the summer it's like 20 hours of daylight and only 4 hours of darkness, which is pretty crazy.
Wow.
Sleep deprivation.
I think that happens. Isn't that one of the reasons that people who live like way up north in the Scandinavian countries have kind of high suicide rates? They just get so depressed in the winter because it's dark the whole time. I could be wrong with that. I don't want to put misinformation out there, but I heard that's
probably a couple things.
I've no idea.
Oh, Swedish meatballs taste like shit. No, I actually like Swedish
Are you
meatballs.
kidding?
I'm from the
Shut up. I was about to
Swedish.
say,
Yeah,
those are
shut
unreal.
up. You've
Those
been to
are great.
IKEA? IKEA meatballs are
Anyway,
like
everyone, this has been
top
Joe
tier.
Kilgallen.
No. We're not
That's what
ending.
I got
Shut up.
canceled
Shut up,
for.
Joe.
Oh my God.
I'm canceling
This is
you
great on your
right here,
podcast.
right now.
I blame myself. I couldn't think of Swedish cuisine right away. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I caught myself. If you listen to the playback, I'll be like, wait, those are actually great. Especially at IKEA, because they're so damn cheap. You get a bunch
Yeah.
of them.
You know, I was about to say
Well,
you've been a
what is
really
the
good guest,
answer
but I'd be lying.
to
your
Yeah, no.
I'll make it up to you. I'll send you some Swedish meatballs and some Swedish pancakes. And what else do they got over there?
But the Swedish fish,
Blonde
thanks.
women. I'll send you some blonde women,
Blonde
Swedish
women.
fish.
Yeah, there we go. But you know, moving on from that,
Now, Thomas wants to end it. He's like, no, there's no moving on from that. He's done.
you know, it's like if you apologize, I might get over it. But no, apology wouldn't even work. We're done. We're done talking
All
about it.
right,
Move
how about
on.
if I send you another Funko Pop toy that you got in the background there?
Done.
Okay, can I help even it out? Because I don't like that you have, what is it, five on top and seven on the bottom. It's the unevenness.
Oh,
Symmetry.
I have others over there. I'm just doing this to annoy people like you.
Good man. It's working.
Just take one out of the center there, on the top row.
Yeah,
I'm
That'll
not gonna
make
do.
people even more annoyed.
I'm not gonna do it now. Actually, do it. I might just like. Thanks, Jordan.
But yeah, you also do a podcast, and we were talking about that at the start. I mean, what kind of made you start it? Like, I know a lot of comedians do it. Like this fucking most famous one in the world, Joe Rogan. You know, Bill Burr's one
Yeah.
is skyrocketing. I've never really watched the Joey Diaz one, but I know they do pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I kind of I wanted to do I did a sports podcast initially back like 2012 to 2014. It was called Naked Sports Live. I don't think you could find it anywhere because once the RSS feed went away, it disappeared. And it was a stupid name. I did it with a comedian named Megan Daly, who's pretty cool. We called it Naked Sports Live because naked was like a top Google search word. So we're like, oh, that's one of the top Google search words. We add that to sports. Maybe
That's
we'll
so
come up on
bad.
people.
Like the one of the top
So
search words was
stupid.
just the word naked.
And here's why it's also dumb thinking that would lead to listeners. If you're Google searching naked people, you're not going to be like, oh, here's a podcast about sports. I'll check this out instead. I've
Yeah.
given up on my search for boobs. I'm going to just bam. I'm going to just hear what they have
Yeah.
to think about the NFL right now. You know, it was pretty dumb. But I went with this podcast because I always loved the conversations you would have like at the pub. So every time I was hanging out with my friends talking and drinking and throwing it back, especially my comedian friends, I was like, this is the stuff I'd like to listen to. And I know Joe Rogan's podcast is just any different topic he could talk about, but I kind of wanted to keep mine a little bit more loose and fun and all that. And so it started off with like drinking, but as I mentioned before, and now it's just kind of become an extension of this, like my life in a way. You know, I'll talk about my kids a little bit. I'll talk about like what's going on in the world, just silly random shit. You know what I mean? Like whatever
Yeah.
happens during the
You had one
day, like, you know.
recently. It took balls to do it. I think it was your most recent one. It, what was it? It was
Thank you. Yeah,
far
so.
left versus far right. With regards to, was it COVID?
Yeah, it was regards to COVID, and yeah, I mean, hopefully nobody misinterprets my meaning behind that because I was basically just trying to say that there needs to be some more logical thinking with it. I feel like if you're a moderate person and you don't identify as being far right wing or far left wing, I mean, I don't know how it is in Ireland's media, but in American media, it's definitely become those two things right there. It's like someone all the way over here, someone all the way over there. And there's really no middle ground. Tim Dillon, who's a really funny comedian whose podcast is really taken off right now, the Tim Dillon
He's
Show.
a great guy.
Yeah, he's a guy actually that back in the day, me and him got into it because he made fun of JFK, and I was a big Kennedy fan, and so we went back and forth arguing about it. And then I remember running into him in New York on a show, and he was like, "You're not so mad about that, are you?" I'm like, "Dude, I already forgot about it. You know how the world works. That was 2 weeks ago." Already out of my brain. But anyway, like he made a point where he's like, there's just no reward for being rational. And of course COVID's real. Wear a mask, wash your hands, be safe, don't mess around with it. my wife, the nurse, I could attest to anyone who's still doubting it. I don't know why you are. There's enough evidence that shows there's real stuff going on. But on the flip side of it, if you see someone walking, you know, along the shore, walking their dog, and they're not wearing a mask because they know nobody's around for half a mile or whatever you guys use for terms. I don't know the, what is the metric system? I don't know what you guys
kilometers,
say.
Yeah.
Kilometers.
Kilometers.
It makes sense.
So stupid, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Cool. It makes sense. We have it backwards. Then calm down. Like, I don't understand why everything, it all goes back to people just looking to fight each other. People just wanting to have fights on the internet. And that's what pisses me off. So yeah, that's where I on the solo podcasts, I'm going to start doing two podcasts a week. At least I'm going to try. I'm going to have one with a guest where we could talk about what's going on in their world and just kind of like, just have a good conversation. And then the other one is going to be a solo one, which is kind of me ranting about stuff. And but keeping it fun. I don't want it to be like some serious me pounding a desk being like, here's what's wrong with the world. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be some kind of political pundit. That's not really what I'm trying to do, because political comedy's gotten so boring these days to me, especially in America, because nobody would shut up about Trump for the last 4 years, which I get why you wouldn't. He was doing stupid things, at least things worth tweeting constantly. It was a lot of things to talk about.
It's so dumb when he was taken off. The guy could nuke Iran the day after, but he was off Twitter. Like, come on. You know,
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
So what? At least if someone's point was, if he's on Twitter, at least we know what he's doing.
Yeah, I didn't really get too mad about that. The only thing that was kind of funny to me about him being off Twitter is, you know, how he was probably at the White House just losing his mind on everybody, because that was his favorite thing. We were talking about people who have 80,000 tweets on Twitter. I can't even imagine what his number would have been. But it's political comedy used to be kind of fun before the dawn of 24-hour news networks and social media.
Yeah,
I remember a guy like Chris Rock would have social commentary, and you wanted to hear it. You're like, oh, I can't wait to hear Chris Rock's take on what just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know who a big political, maybe Dylan Moran, he's a little political, right? Or I'm trying to think who would be a big like social commentary type comedian.
It's basically most of what Joe Rogan does, right?
Yeah, basically what Joe Rogan is. But it used to be you couldn't wait to hear their thoughts on it. Now, I remember Chris Rock's last Netflix special. The first half hour, he was doing topics about stuff that happened 8 months ago. So it's like, I know all this shit. This isn't interesting. I've heard every take or every different angle you could talk about on this subject. I'm over it. You know what I mean? Talk about Swedish meatballs or get the fuck off the screen, you know? So... That's just kind of like why political comedy has kind of gotten boring. And with my podcast, kind of like with you guys, you know, you want to interview people, you want to talk to people, get some new information about them, have a little bit of fun. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with it. You know, I had like a comedian friend of mine and try to like take dark stuff and make it funny. I had a comedian friend of mine whose parents both died of drug overdoses, and he was telling the story about it. And I didn't know he was going to go there, but he was like willing to be open about it. And he told me that his mother quit using heroin because when he was like two, she found him taking like a jump rope and wrapping it around his arm like he was going to shoot up. And that was like her, oh my God, I got to get off drugs. He saw us doing this. And that sobered her, that cleaned her up. And I said to him like, oh, that's pretty crazy. I wonder if they sell like a My Little Heroin set for like two-year-olds whose parents are drug addicts. They could really like, it'd be a bonding thing. You know what I mean? Like, it could be a fun little, they could have a fake little needle they could put into them. And he was laughing at that because he knows I wasn't being a dick. I was obviously just having some fun with a horrible, you take dark shit and you try to make it fun. And that's, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of like a fun thing to do on podcasts. If you could have someone who could open up about something like that, and then you could figure out a way to make it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, man, you're such a dick. Fuck what your friend says.
No, he thought it was great.
No,
she did it.
It's funny as fuck.
That's why I love having comedians on, because they come out with this kind of stuff. Like when Paul's on, or when Lads and Tree Books Left are on, or any of the Hardy Books cast, some of the stuff they say is not okay to say normally. Because of comedians, they get away with it.
Well, it's like what I said before with the joke I made about my own wife, people thought was misogynistic. Yeah. Now, if I was saying it's it about women hilarious. In general, if I had done this joke where I'm like, hey, all you nurses out there, you better get home and start banging your husbands more, like, that would be insane.
Yeah.
That would be misogynistic. But it's my own personal yes, that would be my last show. So everything's context, you know what I mean? In the context of that conversation, my friend thought it was funny. He was like, dude, that's hilarious. That should be like a sketch. Like, he thought it'd be a funny video to do. But other people hearing it, like, you both gave me a look like, Jesus, what's wrong with you, Joe?
Yeah, like, we gave you a look, and then we burst into laughter because you couldn't hold it.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time. But I'm also worried now. I'm in my own brain. That's my second heroin reference. I hope heroin's not a big raging problem in Ireland right now, because I feel real bad making two references.
Yeah. No.
Okay, considering most of our audience is American, I think you're good, dude.
Yeah, so.
Oh, good. Perfect. So, yeah. All right. Great. That's cool that most of your audience is American. Well, nice. You guys should come over here and do some shows.
Well, that's the plan. But that's the thing. If you do any kind of media, your audience is the States. Like it or not, it's gonna end up happening. There's no way we could do this and have a majority Irish audience. Not a chance. Like, what, there's 5 million people here? There's 300 and how many over there?
I think almost 330 million. And I recently came across this. I think over 40 million Americans claim some sort of Irish ancestry.
Wow.
So I could see your podcast being popular over here with, you know, people like myself who might be second generation or something like that, or the famous plastic patties, as they get nicknamed, the Irish people who are like, my great, 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 great grandfather came over from Ireland in 1821. And
yeah,
that's my only link. But they run around saying they're Irish, which I'm sure is annoying to you guys.
Well, it's not annoying.
There is a joke, and there is this like stigma of like Irish and then Irish American. You know, like, yeah, okay. Like, what? Like, how many generations back are you Irish and you're calling yourself Irish? Like, there's a clear difference between, you know, you snatch fucking one of the Hardy books out of Mayo and then you grab yourself. Like, you're even closer to, like, your Irish lineage, but there's still a big difference. Now, try to get someone who's, like, 8 generations behind who's still calling themselves Irish. Huge difference.
Yes, that is a big difference. It does crack me up, though, because Irish culture is so popular in America, especially Chicago. We, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, Chicago has a tradition in which we dye the river green. So the river becomes like just completely green. It kind of looks that way the rest of the year, though, too. It's not I wouldn't go swimming in that river. It's a very polluted river. I don't think you're allowed to swim in it, actually.
I didn't even know you did that. I know. Isn't Guinness green on St. Patrick's Day over there?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. No, fuck that.
I don't think they do. They don't do it with Guinness. They do it with all the other beers. It's just a little green food coloring. Like, it's green Budweiser and green Heineken and green, you know, Stella and all that other stuff. But Guinness, they won't, because what's cool about Guinness is how black it looks. I always love that expression. I worked in an Irish pub. It was called O'Shaughnessy's, and so many of like Irish people who'd only so many Irish people went there. I'm talking like people who just moved out from Ireland to Chicago were all in that pub all the time. And I liked this one older guy. He was an Irish guy, actually, that was funny to me, because he was like 70, lived in America since he was 20, and still had the thickest Irish brogue. Like, it was so hard to understand him. And I'm like, you've lived here for 50 years. How has your accent not changed even a little bit?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's right, because you only hung out with other Irish people, and together all you do is make Polish jokes. Like, it's just so funny. and he would always say, I'll take a pint of the black stuff. And I always thought that was a cool way of ordering a Guinness, a pint of the black stuff.
That's still a phrase over here, actually. If you ask for a pint of the black stuff, cool. They'd give it to you. Irish accent is kind of dying. Just because of our obsession with American media. Like, we're here talking about the Avengers, and Avengers is made over in the US. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. There's no Irish social media app.
Like, it would die as fast as it was made.
So, like, a lot of media we watch comes from the US, which means our accents are Irish, American, UK. It gets weird.
Especially with the internet, like, you're not going to be learning all your English, like, from your parents or teachers anymore. You're going to be learning it from fucking, I think it's hilarious, like Minecraft YouTubers and stuff when you're a kid, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just a weird thing. Like, you could have a lad in Germany who has a perfect American accent because he watches American YouTubers, and even a little bit of a British accent if they watch British ones. You know, it's pretty weird.
Accents are so damn interesting to me because I've got a comedian friend of mine who's been on my podcast a few times. You guys would love him. His name's Adam Burke. He was born in Australia to Irish parents. But then when he was like a year, I think he moved back to Northern Ireland. I can't remember what part though. And then when he was 18, he moved to London. He lived in London for like a good stretch, maybe 5-6 years. Then when he came to America, he moved to Dallas, Texas, which I don't know how well you guys are with American geography, but Dallas is where our cowboy types are, where they sound like, howdy y'all, and welcome to Texas, and, you know, have yourself a nice bit of chicken. Like, they kind of have that accent going. And then he moved to Chicago, which is how I sound. And so his accent's all over the place. People meet him all the time, and they're like, Scotland, Ireland, Australia, Wales, they're not really, they know there's like an Irish / UK influence, but then every other word will sound very American. So his accent's just all over the place. It's kind of fun to hear him go off about it because no one knows where he's from. The man of the world.
That was really cool.
But I hope the Irish accent doesn't go away though. Cause
I hope it doesn't either.
But you know what? As long as the Irish slang stays, because I love the way, like, my favorite expression is, what are you on about? Like, when someone says, what are you on about? I think that sounds so cool to me. Makes me think of that Oasis song, too, where it's like, no one's going to tell me what I'm on about. And then calling people a ledge instead of legend. That guy's a ledge. I think that's hilarious, too.
I wouldn't say that now. I say the full thing. Yeah.
I'd say ledge.
You just say legend now?
Even savage. The Irish, you know, just
it
stuff,
changes.
Stuff that says cool, stuff that means cool in Ireland is like mint, kind of your sound, your fucking
sound. I like sound.
People are fascinated by the one, what's the crack?
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, what's the fun, right?
Actually, I was in Florida with one of my friends, and my friend walked up to the, we were visiting university studios, and my friend goes up to this guy and he's selling keychains, right? And my friend goes over, what's the crack with you, buddy? And he goes, no drugs. My friend goes, oh, I don't want drugs, I want a keychain.
Or Hardy Bucks, what's the story with you? I was like, what's the story with you? Yeah, I was like that.
Yeah. Dude, that show is going to live on forever. And there was a big petition recently. People wanted it to come back.
I don't know how well it did though. Did it get all the signatures?
Did it get 5,000 people?
Did it? Wow.
That's the last time I've seen it. And I really hope it keeps going.
I hope it keeps going. I'd love to see another season of it. It's great.
Yeah, it's criminal. It's not there anymore, but it'll come back eventually. But anyway, Joe, we're not going to take up any more of your time. We've had a fucking sound old chat. So if people want to check out your podcast or any of your social media, where can they find you?
I push the YouTube the most. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/JoeKilgallon. And that's KILGALLON. And I post full podcast episodes as well as podcast clips. And there's nearly 3 hours of my stand-up comedy on there. A lot of stand-up comedy clips, a couple full hours on there as well. And I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram, I'm on all that stuff, but definitely just check the YouTube out for everything you need.
Well,
there you go.
If you want to see Joe do the renegade on TikTok, like this video, be sound.
Well, there you go.
I'm doing the bus it challenge now.
Oh god. So if you got this far, fair play to you. And you know, as we always say, take it handy and stay away from yourself. Top of the morning, lads and ladies. Support for the Awful Irish podcast is now brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and you're no longer lead the look of the Irish with the ladies. Manscaped just launched in Ireland. We've gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can now be one of the first men in Ireland to experience their life-changing products.
Your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code IrishPod at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code IrishPod.